What's going on, y'all, and welcome back to Double M Live, brought to you by Bet Online AG. This is my brother Mike. Nice is in the building.
What it do?
It's DJ Mies, and we got a special, special show. The Celtics preview show is on and popping tonight, just a week away.
Just a week away, the Celtics open this season taking on the Philadelphia 76ers to kick off the 2022-2023 season. It's exciting. After a long summer, a lot of stuff that's gone on over the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, especially coming off that finals loss last year to Golden State. The new season is finally upon us. It's on the horizon, right around the corner. And I know I'm ready. Marv's ready. Hope y'all are ready. But we're going to get it on and popping with this preview show and dive into everything that we might expect to see during the season, what we might predict. We're going to talk about it all, but of course, not only will Marv and I talk about it all, we also want y'all to join the conversation per usual. You see that comment section? Tell us how you feel, your thoughts and feelings on this current Celtics squad, what you think might happen, what you think might pop off in this upcoming NBA season. That's what this show is all about.
That's it, man. So let's get it started. Definitely want to hear from all of you guys on the YouTube. Make sure you, you know, voice your opinions. As we all know, Mike, this season did not start how we thought it was going to. Everything was fine and dandy. You know, it's off season. The expectations, Vegas has Celtics going to the finals. The team looks good. You bring in Malcolm Brogdon. You bring in Gallinari. Rob just had surgery. Rob didn't have surgery. He was coming off of surgery. You think he was going to be healthy. And then it just went downhill from there. Gallinari tears his ACL playing Euro basketball. We find out Robert Williams, he's going to be out for 8 to 12 weeks because he needs surgery to clean up his knee. And then obviously you guys know the story, man. Ime Udoka suspended 4 years of having, at first it was called consensual relationship. Now we're hearing it's called intimate relationship with a Celtic staffer. Who is this person? We do not know. We're not going to get into who that is. But let's stick with Ime. Gone for the year. You now have an interim head coach in Joe Mazzulla taking over. 34 years old, bro. I told you, bro, I used to play ball with him back in the Y. I used to give him buckets. Now he's coaching for the Celtics. It's a crazy transition that the Celtics have to go through now. I mean, everyone's saying the right things. You know, you see the preseason. They're looking good. Everyone has been Mazzulla's back. But what happens now going through this year with Joe Mazzulla as a team and Ime Udoka no longer on this team and probably not going to be on this team ever again?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not going to dive into everything, the speculations and rumors or the reports of Ime and his situation. But more so, you know, Marv just asked the question, how does the team move forward without... I just want to say, first and foremost, Ime really screwed up. He really effed up. He really messed up. Because at the end of the day, you see, everybody sees, the world sees, NBA fans, other players, other organization, they see what this team is building. Over the last couple of years as well, you know, you draft Tatum, you draft Brown, you draft Smart. And it's been a slow process through the Brad years. And you got the Brad Stevens years as the coach, and you got the Kyrie years and the Hayward, the Kemba the years. But especially within last season, with the Celtics making it as far as they did and having the success in the second half, you see what's being built within this organization, within this team. And they found as much success as they did last year. Obviously, they couldn't get over the hump and win a championship. But Ime, obviously not a player, but he's the face of this turn of events for the Celtics. New coach, new system in place. Ime is leading the charge for this current Celtics team, this current, you know, solidified core of Tatum, Brown, Smart. You can kind of throw Rob Williams in there. Horford is still giving us a good couple of years, but Ime is supposed to be leading the charge of this current Celtics group, and he just screws all of that up and throws it all out the window because he wants to do things that break team policy. Whatever he did, he broke team policy, and he's no longer with the team for the rest of the season and probably for the foreseeable future. He's not possibly not coming back to the organization. So, you know, like you see there, Ime is MIA, missing in action, because that's exactly what the situation is. It would have been great if you take Ime's situation out of, you know, this offseason. You lose Rob 8 to 12 weeks. Damn. All right. Gallinari tears his ACL. Damn. Okay. But you still somewhat feel good. Your head coach is still in place. The core players are still there. For the most part, everybody who was on that championship team, that team that made the run to the championship, is still there. You add in Brogdon. You bring in Blake. Like, you still feel somewhat good. I know for me, and I speak for myself for sure, and I think I can speak for a lot of people, when it's like, when you heard Ime gone for the year, it definitely gave you an uppercut punch to like, my expectations for this team kind of just, not completely went left, but it's like, damn, the guy who kind of built this current system, this current, you know, identity that the Celtics have is now gone. And that's what they have to deal with as they try to navigate this upcoming season.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say, mainly about Ime Udoka, but I'm looking forward to now Mazzulla, right? He being thrown into this position. And I have no doubt that Mazzulla can coach. But everything else that comes with it is brand new to him. Now, you know, he's got a 30 minutes before the game, has to do media. He has to do media over here. He has to do media over there. He needs to know how many timeouts does he have in each court. Like, things that he never used to have to think about. He has to have all of that in your mind on top of the coaching. And that's thrown upon him right there. Obviously, he's going to have, we have Damon Stoudemire, you know, veteran assistant coach that's over there with him. But there's going to be a lot of learning curves for Mazzulla during this year that I'm really interested to see how that goes. I don't think he's going to be bad at coaching. I don't think his philosophy is going to be any different than what the Celtics already constructed with the identity that they built last year. But how does Mazzulla adjust to everything else that comes with becoming a head coach of this franchise and potentially the head coach for years to come if things work out? How does he deal with personalities? When Marcus Smart last year calls out Tatum and Brown, you had a strong head coach in Udoka that could be able to handle that and handle the media and be able to keep things copacetic. But with Mazzulla, if something like that was to happen, if a team breaks down, if a team loses three games in a row, does Mazzulla have it in him to motivate the team or bring the toughness into these guys? That's all these questions are to be seen. It's possibly it could be true. It possibly could happen. But we just don't know yet how that's going to happen. That's what's crazy about this 22-23 year. There's a lot of things we just don't know. With the Gallinari injury, with the with the Robert Williams injury, some guys are going to step up. Will they be able to? You got guys in preseason, Vonleh that came in, Cabangeli, Sam Hauser. Are these guys going to be able to produce in the regular season? We just don't know. And that's what makes this 22-23 year very, very interesting in a sense that you're going to a year after coming from a championship win title. You should know all the answers about your team. You should know. You have the foundation. Yes, they still got Tatum and Brown and Smart there. But then everything else is a question mark for this team. And that's not great, especially when you have championship ideals.
Yeah, I mean, and I think what you would hope for, I think what they all hope for, the coaches, the players, fans, I think what you hope for is that the system that's in place can just carry over, you know. All the success that they found in the second half of the season that kind of took them through the playoffs to the championship, that just carries over into the new season. And like you're saying, with this new coach, a new voice, new face of leadership for this team, the question mark is there. Would we be asking these questions and having these conversations if Ime was still the coach? No. You would just say, man, I hope Brogdon and Hauser and Blake, I hope these guys are ready to just jump into the system and just keep it rolling. Now you're asking and hoping for those guys to jump into the system and keep it rolling. But are we truly and fully exactly going to get the same thing that we got in a prior season? Because it's a different person sitting in that seat. It's a different voice, different energy, different personality sitting in that head coaching seat. You know, what really sucks about this Ime situation and him not being a team, you know, the relationship and the respect the players had for him.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a question. I think, you know, even going through the process when they were looking for Ime, you know, probably asking Tatum and Brown and Smart about coaches and how do you feel about this coach? I think we all heard they gave Ime high praise.
He was their guy.
He was their guy. Like, all the candidates they probably went through, Ime got high praise from these guys. And once he became the head coach, you knew that that respect level was there. And, you know, this is a conversation we had over the years doing Double M shows and talking about coaching and times we've got on Brad. You knew it would be somewhat different if and when the Celtics had a coach who was a former player, who's been in the trenches, yep, understands what the grind of being a player in the NBA, it'd be different for these guys.
Right.
And they finally got that in Ime, and the respect level rose from Tatum and Brown and some of these other players because they got a guy who know what it is. They know what he knew what the deal is and knew what the deal was when he played. Now you got Mazzulla sitting in that seat. He played ball, college ball.
Yeah, bro.
Wherever, where'd he play?
I told you, I gave him buckets.
Providence?
Rhode Island, somewhere in Rhode Island.
He played at some YMCA, and let me not disrespect him.
That's crazy, Mike.
Let me not
That's
say.
That's crazy,
He
bro.
Played college ball That's somewhere. Crazy. I don't know, D1, D3?
This dude said YMCA Listen, men's league.
He played ball.
That's mean.
So, my whole question is.
Said, no, he knows how to shoot.
I heard Scalabrini say when they played pickup, he didn't like when Mazzulla covered him on defense because he played solid defense.
Get out of here.
That's what Scalabrini said. That's what Scal said. All of that to say again.
He said the white mamba. Get out of here.
I'm hoping that the players, you know, respect him enough. And at the same time, like I said, if Mazzulla's smart, whatever Ime implemented, it worked well, and especially with all the other assistant coaches there, just keep rocking with that. And try to implement these guys, the new guys, as best as possible, and then can try to continue to raise the level of play from your star players in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Right, and at the same time, you know, you feel for Mazzulla, like he needs to add his own identity to this
exactly.
team.
Exactly,
right?
Can't be a walkover, can't be a pushover.
Yeah, he's got to, you know, instill his own philosophies while he's learning to become a coach as well. So that's probably the biggest storyline of the season, right? Celtics losing their head coach. What's going to become of the Celtics here? This is unprecedented. We haven't really seen an example of something like this before. So, Mike Knights, although that is probably the major headline going into the season, there's other storylines within this Celtics season that we have going on here. Let's go into the next category of underrated storylines heading into the 22-23 season. You want to kick it off?
Yeah. I mean, here's a conversation that, you know, people probably think doesn't need to be had because, again, going off the success that this team found last season, this should be solidified. But I don't know how solidified this is because there's a question mark around a certain player, and that's Rob Williams. A lot of the success that Celtics had last year came with that starting five of Rob Will, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart.
Right.
The stats. So when these five are on the court together, when they play, they have so much success, the numbers. And when those five are on the court together, you know, that's where they had their most success with that starting lineup. As you know, that's not going to be the case to start the season with Rob Williams out for 8 to 12 weeks. And not only is he out for 8 to 12 weeks, at this point, I honestly could say I don't know what to expect with Rob Williams and that knee. To me, it's a, I don't care what kind of surgery he's having now, what's getting fixed, what's getting taken care of. As long as Rob Williams is in a Celtics uniform, in my opinion, his health is always going to be a question mark. You know, at I think Rob Williams is only, what, 24, 25 years old? Yeah. And this is, what, 2-3 knee surgeries now? On top of the fact that prior to his knee surgeries, even coming out of college, he was always dealing with a sore knee, something wrong with his knee, sore knee.
He had that hip that was bothering him early in his career as well.
So his legs already at 24, 25 has gone through problems and issues and procedures. So, like I said, that's a question mark. But now moving forward, yes, he does come back in 8 to 12 weeks. Maybe he's healthy. But now, what happens if the starting lineup isn't solidified yet? We don't know who's going to be the starters. You expect Brown, you expect Tatum, you expect Smart, you expect Horford. But then do they make Horford the five and go with Grant or Derek White? There's a lot of question marks here. So here's the storyline is, do they rock with that same starting lineup when Rob Williams comes back? Or if they find success, do they tell Rob Williams, look, appreciate what you've done, but we have something else going on really good now. We're going to relegate you to the bench because there's success coming in different areas. That's what I want to know.
So with Rob, it's a great question, but honestly, there's no way you don't start Rob. And here's why. The Celtics are depleted in size. Completely depleted in size. There's no size on this team whatsoever. Yes, you bring in Blake Griffin. That's it. You have Horford, who's going to be, which I guess this is going to tie into my storyline too, because my storyline has to do with Al Horford and his age. And the goal is to try to limit his minutes. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty much your only reliable big at the moment. So when Rob comes back, you're gonna need Rob because of size. You've seen in the preseason already against the Charlotte Hornets. Plumlee was getting whatever he wanted with the rebounds. And this Hornets are a mediocre, or at best a mediocre team. There's going to be teams that really pound the board on the Celtics. And we saw that being an issue in the playoffs as well.
Yep.
When it came to facing Milwaukee and Miami Heat. So getting the rebound, size is going to be an issue. So once Rob is presumably healthy, you got to put him back. You have to put him in the starting lineup. Now, how many minutes is he going to get? Who are you going to fill those minutes with? Does Cornette make a leap here? You know that's my boy.
The Green Hornet.
That's my
whatever
boy.
They call him.
Cornette, that's my guy. So if he can get on there, you know, 7-footer, hit a couple threes, he's solid defensively. He's not trash. He's solid defensively. We'll see what we get out of him. Vonleh, if he makes the team, see what you, that's the question marks. Who, can Vonleh give you 12 minutes? Can Vonleh give you 12 minutes on the floor to reprieve Al Horford?
I like Cabangeli more than I like Vonleh, because I feel as if the Celtics like what they get out of Rob. The athleticism, right. The ability to block, pick and roll, and catch an alley-oop or something. You get that from Cabangeli.
Cabangeli is his. I love Cabangeli. That's like my cousin.
But I know what you're gonna bring up.
What am I gonna bring up?
His two-way contract.
Oh no, that's one thing. Okay. I mean, but they could obviously, hey, if you really like him, you could sign. My issue with Cabangeli compared to Vonleh is Cabangeli is very raw defensively. Mm. Very raw defensively. He has the athleticism. He brings that fight, the power. But it's similar to how Rob was in his rookie when Rob was unplayable. You remember when he first came into the league, his first 2 years, we're all screaming, yo, let's see more Rob. You couldn't play Rob because he just didn't know what to do defensively. And Cabangeli, you know, this is his first real test in the NBA. It's going to be tough for him because just how he is. Vonleh, at least he knows a little bit. You can see he's not the greatest athlete as he once was. He put a little pounds, but
sure did.
Put, you know, put
was shocked that first preseason game.
But He knows how to move his feet, and I think he's better defensively for that. So, but I do like Kevin Gelly. If he can fight for minutes here, but like you said, he's on a two-way contract. Yep. So for those who don't know what a two-way contract is, he could only pretty much play for like 50% of the time on the main roster because he's obligated to play with the main Celtics. Is that what they're called now?
I think so. So here's a comment coming in from the Misfits. And this is a lineup similar to what I believe might start the season. Horford at center, Tatum at the four, Brown at the three, Smart at the one, or Smart at the two, Brogdon at the one. I believe this is what you'll see opening night, but instead of Brogdon, it's going to be Derek White in the game.
Brogdon's not starting.
Brogdon needs to be a part of the second unit. I think he's accepted that idea. There will be times, most likely, and again, obviously, you're just being realistic with this new NBA and players taking rest days and whatnot. There will be times Brogdon gets into the starting lineup during the course of the season. Right. He'll find his way starting a game or two, as long as he's healthy as well. He'll find his way into the starting lineup. But with everybody's healthy, he will be coming off the bench as the sixth man. I think, Marv, we had this conversation before. There should never be too many instances where Smart and White are on the floor together for long periods of time.
Smart and White?
I think we had that conversation.
We have it, but I have an opposite view of that.
I remember saying I always want to see either Smart and Brogdon on the floor or White and Brogdon on the floor. Never too much Smart and White. As much as I believe they could have a starting lineup with Smart and White in the backcourt, I think as the games go on, unless the Celtics go really small, which they could, and they might do in some instances. Yes,
that's what I was going to say.
There's going to be a three-headed monster Smart, White, and Brogdon.
That's exactly what I was going to
say. With Horford in the game, is at your big, and if you have Tatum at the four, I never want to see for long spurts Smart and White.
I think they go even smaller. I'm telling you, this team is really small. I can
even
see.
Even smaller.
I can see a lineup. If you see how the NBA is, I can see the lineup where it's Brogdon, Smart, White, Brown, Tatum. I can see that being a lineup where they're just running up and down the floor. And that's a five-headed defense. Obviously, they wouldn't do that if there's a, an Embiid or a Joker on the floor or such. But I can really see a lineup where you have Brogdon, White, and Smart. All three of these dudes can play wings. They can all defend wings. Brogdon's 6'5". We know what Smart can do. And Derek White can hold his own against big wings. And then you have Brown and Tatum at the 4 and 5. That can be a very tactical lineup as well. So that's why I say I can see Smart and White, because one, we both agree they're both going to start together.
Yes.
To start the season off, it's going to be Smart and White. And then off the bench, you're going to have Brogdon and Grant Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's no other big on the team, because I know Horford over the years has expressed he doesn't like playing five. But at this point in his career, and especially the way the Celtics are set up, he's going to have to play a lot of five this year. There's no way they're going to slide Vonleh, if he makes the team, into the starting lineup.
Horford didn't like playing the five back then.
It's different now. Definitely changed now. And whether he likes it or not, he don't have a choice with this team. Vonleh's not going to start. Cornette's not going to start. Kevin Gelly, if he gets some time, I don't believe any of those guys are going to find their way into the starting lineup. The only other guy who might find his way, if they don't go with that lineup of Horford, Tatum, Brown, White, Smart, I could see Horford
bump to the five and Grant.
Grant
to the four.
Tatum, Brown, Smart, which I'm not mad at all. I think either one of those two lineups I wouldn't be upset about. It keeps Brogdon at the sixth man. You get Brown and Tatum back at their natural positions, and by playing Tatum at the three and Brown at the two, obviously they're interchangeable. They can play any of those positions. They're just wing players. But I wouldn't be mad at either one of those starting lineups if you want to take Horford off of playing a four and get more versatility with Grant in the lineup and a bigger guy. That's one good thing about the Celtics team. They have some guys who are very versatile, who can play multiple, who can cover and play multiple positions. And that's something that's really, you know, key for them as they try to get through the season.
Yeah, so like even Grant Williams, I was looking this up earlier, and I was really shocked. He only played 3% of his minutes as a center.
Wow.
That's going to change this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter, and that was like, wow, he only played 3% of his minutes last year as a center. This year, he's going to be playing the five at times, especially with Rob being out. You want to save, you're going to have to try to save Horford's minutes. That's why we're going to start the season. We're going to see a mix of either Vonleh, Cornette, Blake Griffin. We're going to see some of these guys getting some minutes to just see who's going to work, who's going to be in the mix. So Grant Williams, I think he's already shown this year that, you know, he's adding a little more to his game. You know, I saw him in a pick and roll situation for the first time ever, and it looked decent. It looked decent for Grant Williams. So for him to take another step to take guys off the dribble, because Grant Williams got to this point now where NBA players are going to respect him from the three.
Yes.
Like, he's no longer going to be in the corner by himself and players are just going to let him shoot. Players are going to expect, so now you better be able to take a player off the dribble and either make a floater or be able to have good enough vision where you can pass the ball. So that's going to be interesting to see in Grant's evolution. I think Grant's going to have is going to be very big for the Celtics due to the fact that you don't have Rob on this team.
And Grant has to be big because he's also in a contract year. He has to show this team. And, you know, I think he's shown a decent amount already that he deserves a spot with this team.
Oh, yeah. Think about game 7 in Milwaukee.
He's shown enough, especially last season, that he deserves a spot on his team and in a rotation. I think he's valuable. I remember in the early years, because he's going into year 4 now, I believe. His first 2 years, I hated that guy. I hated him. Wanted him off the team. Thought he served no purpose but being an undersized, unathletic, you know, 4 at the time. But he's worked on his game tremendously. He's added in being a threat at the three-point line. He's shown his versatility, playing defense, covering multiple positions. And obviously, the contract hasn't been signed with him getting an extension. And part of that is because Celtics probably want to see if he can reach another level. Can you somewhat become, because what's the big comparison he was getting all throughout the playoffs and especially in the finals? Getting compared to Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. Getting compared to Draymond Green. Draymond Green, we're talking about a guy who plays great defense. Sometimes he facilitates.
Initiates the offense.
Covers multiple positions. Just can do various things for the game. That's Grant's next step. If he can really become the next type of Draymond Green. Someone who can maybe at times, and I know this is wild to even think about just knowing the player who he's been over the years. But damn, Zay, sometimes he can bring the ball up.
Nope. All right. Stop it. Listen, we don't. Maybe, Celtics don't I'm need saying, him to be that.
I'm not. Celtics don't need that. But if he can add that to his game.
Just have good vision.
Good vision. Obviously work on his handle. Good vision. Able to see the floor a little bit better. You know, Celtics want to see what kind of next step he can take. Like I said, I already believe he solidified his spot in the rotation. He's solidified his spot on the team. But what next? Because you're only, 23 years old? 24 years old? There's still a lot more that could possibly happen with the development of your game. So, you know, let's see what else Grant can bring to the table in this upcoming season. I think this is huge for him. And I think the Celtics will get a lot out of Grant this upcoming season.
Yeah. I mean, he's always added more to his game every single year. Like I said, just to see him take the ball off the dribble this year is key. That's key right there. See what he can do in the pick and pop, in the pick and rolls. Being able to, like you said, maybe not initiate the offense, but be able to have better vision when you are driving. See a cutter. Make those type of passes. Similar to what Al Horford does. What makes Al Horford so great. That if Grant could take a little bit of that, that would be really golden. We got a comment here on the YouTube. I'm late. Y'all definitely think Vonleh definitely makes the team. Great question. I don't know. What we do know is the Celtics love him. In the practices and in the training camps, they've been really pushing for Vonleh. Preseason, especially the first game, didn't look too hot.
Yeah.
Did not look too hot for Vonleh, but as the games went on, he started to get more minutes, and he had a good showing out against the last game against the Charlotte Hornets. I think due to the fact that, like we were talking about, Celtics are hurting with size. Cornette, he had the ankle injury, so we don't really know where that lands. And remember, the Rob Williams says 8 to 12 weeks. That's 8 to 12 weeks he can return into basketball activities.
Yep.
That doesn't mean 8 to 12 weeks he's back on the court. So it's going to be a while till we see Rob. I think due to all those factors, Vonleh makes the team.
Yeah, and I think the Celtics need a big, tough guy like Vonleh on this team playing the five. Like, obviously, yeah, Horford's there, Grant's there, but Vonleh gives you some size, obviously, vertically. But big body and tough. Like, I don't believe in Luke Kornet. I don't. I know they love him.
He's my guy.
You could stretch the floor, but like, we've seen the Luke Kornets on this team before, and his name was freaking Tyler Zeller.
Yes, racist.
I'm not talking about
Tyler Zeller could not shoot.
Tyler Zeller, they tried to have him stretch the floor a little bit.
Tyler Zeller could not shoot.
Can Luke Kornet really shoot?
Yeah, bro. That's his job.
Like, when I say he reminds me of Tyler Zeller, I'm talking about skill set. I feel like they're the same.
Nah, bro.
Okay, should I have said Bane? Aaron Bane?
Yeah. But Aaron Bane was a little young.
Okay, but so I couldn't compare him to Bane. I could compare him to Tyler Zeller because they look like the same, built the same way. In my opinion, they give you the same thing. And it sucks that he didn't get a chance to play in the preseason because he really probably could have showed out and what he's capable of doing, because all the talk prior to preseason is, oh, we have our backup center. We don't need to really get anybody because Luke Kornet's going to be that guy. But then preseason comes around and he doesn't play a single minute. Now we expect him to just pop off and go off when the season starts. I don't know. So I think, yeah, to answer that question.
You feel me, Jay? What's wrong with this guy?
Y'all took it the wrong way.
What is wrong with this dude? Said Tyler Zeller.
They're built the same way. The size, the skill set looks the same. And I'm thinking about former Celtics players in recent memory.
My God.
Should have said Greg Stiesma.
See, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. So we got a question from our EP, man. He says, how many minutes is Blake going to get realistically? Can he be a real contributor?
I like this question.
At the stage of his career?
I like this question.
So we've had, this is a conversation we've definitely had.
Okay.
Yeah, Blake, listen, guys, this is not the Blake of old. He's going to get minutes to start off this year. Because we need it. Blake's a smart offensive player. Blake also is what we call target practice. As soon as any player sees Blake Griffin on the floor, they licked it. Did y'all not see what Jaylen Brown did to Blake Griffin last year?
It's pretty bad.
It's easy money. Blake is smart. Yeah, he leads the league in charges per minute and such. Smart basketball player. He's just not that guy no more. He's not that guy. I don't think he's going to get that many minutes once the Celtics, if the Celtics are projected to be fully healthy, he's not going to play much due to the fact that, look, what are the Celtics' identity since the Brad Stevens days? If you want to play, you got to play defense. Nets didn't have a good roster. They had to play Blake Griffin those 12 minutes a game. He had one game when he played really well. He hit a couple threes. Blake's going to be able to stretch the floor. Offensively, he's going to be able to be, he's going to be decent. I don't think he's going to get many minutes.
I think Blake Griffin finds a way to get minutes on his team. I do. I think being a veteran player, obviously has solid basketball IQ at this stage in his career. He realizes that it's not all about trying to dunk on people and jump over people. That's not what it is anymore, especially for him. Like, that's just not a part of his game anymore. But we've seen over the years, obviously you didn't see much in Brooklyn, but when he went to Detroit and stuff, And even
you're bringing years back. Go by off what we know.
I'm going off the fact that I believe Blake Griffin brings a basketball IQ.
Smart guy.
That can be valuable to the team. Now, obviously, I get what you're saying about in terms of the defensive end and him not being a great player defensively. Can you find ways to somewhat hide that with this Celtics team being as versatile as they are and having guys who can switch and whatnot? It's possible. Like, yeah, obviously, one-on-one is probably not a good idea for Blake Griffin. But at the same time, I don't think it would hurt to have lineups where you have Blake, who probably has similar kind of court vision and being able to move the ball and get the ball somewhat on the same level as Horford, in my opinion. I think Blake at times, Horford brings the ball up, Blake can bring the ball up. Horford sometimes initiates the offense, Blake and I think can sometimes initiate the offense. Will that equal 20 minutes a night for Blake? Obviously not. But I feel like you think there's going to be a lot of times Blake Griffin sitting on that bench and he never getting up.
If the Celtics are projected to be healthy, yeah.
Fully healthy?
If Celtics are fully healthy, Blake's not seeing the court. I'm not even questioning that.
Hey, again, I don't know what to expect out of Luke Kornet. We don't know if Vonleh's making a team. Fully healthy, I don't see why Blake can't get in a rotation at five behind Grant or Horford. I don't see why that can't be a four-man big rotation. Horford, Grant, Blake, and Rob Williams. Not saying Blake is going to get a lot of minutes if that's the rotation, just speaking hypothetically, but I can see Blake getting minutes in that four-man rotation at the four and five.
Think about it. Who's coming off the bench for the Celtics projected? Brogdon. White, projected health. Brogdon, White.
Grant,
right? So we know.
No. Okay, you said going back to original starter lineup. Yeah. Brogdon, White, Grant.
That's so right there, that's your eight-man playoff roster. Now, after that, you have either Kornet, Pritchard, Vonleh, Blake.
I'm not sold on
you're Kornet. Only going eight deep. Once the season really gets started, you're only going eight deep.
I'm not sold on Kornet, and like the question just came, I don't know if Vonleh makes this roster. I don't. Nobody knows for sure. Show you how many times we've seen people look good in preseason and they get cut, and you're like, damn, they cut him, damn. So I don't know. Like I said,
you see what I'm saying about the eight?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I'm like I said, if I'm looking at the bigs, does Blake get a solid 15, 18, 20 minutes? No. But I can see spurts of time where they toss him in there just for his versatility at five. Now, being realistic, knowing the health situation, wanting to rest Horford back-to-backs, even though Horford don't want to do that. Rob Williams, we know his knee situation. Blake going to get minutes. That's just
Possibly the reality situation. Like I said, to start off the year, he's going to get minutes.
But, you know, who knows how this rotation is going to shake out. Obviously, you want everybody to be healthy and them to have a solid locked-in rotation as we go on. We don't know. Being real with the situation, you know, Celtics might deal with some guys who may sit out a couple of games, take a rest, whatever. The new NBA players don't play 82 games anymore. But it remains to be seen. Before we continue, though, Marv, I think we got to pay some bills real quick.
Got to pay the bills. So when we come back, we get to talk about one of our favorite players, Jaylen Brown. But first, a word from our sponsors. This episode of Double M is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Football is back and BetOnline remains the number one source for all your football betting needs this season.
You'll always find the latest football odds, team matchup info, player news, game trends at BetOnline.
And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free concerts, and live scores and giveaways all season long.
Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events. Bet MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf.
Head to BetOnline.ag to join and receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards.
BetOnline, where the game starts.
And we are back on Double M Live. Let's transition now to a question that Sam has here. Do y'all think JB will ever be a top 10 player in the league? What we had in our segment is, could JB become all NBA? So let's tackle the first question. Let's get to Sam, you know, get to the peoples. Can JB be top 10 in this league? I say yes, and here's why. So I'm not done, but I'm doing the top 20 NBA players in the league right now, going off of playoffs, stats, years, and moments. I have JB at 16. I have him as the 16th best player in the world right now. Still finalizing the list, but I have him at 16. There's only a few things he needs to work on to reach that top 10 echelon. I mean, the league is deep as hell. There's so, like, the difference between the top 10 player and the top 25 player is very minuscule. That's how deep the NBA is right now, and it's a really beautiful thing to see how much talent it is. Like, I have Anthony Edwards outside the top 20, but I had him like at 23, 24. Anthony Edwards and Jaylen Brown are not that much different in basketball-wise, you know what I'm saying, scoring-wise, and Anthony Edwards is going to be a top 15, top 10 player soon in this league. So that's just to say how deep this league is. So, yes, I think JB could – there's a path for him to get there. Will it be easy? No. Like, if JB got traded to Brooklyn and had his own team, the path would be a lot easier for him to become a top 10 player. But he has top 10 talent for sure. Going into what we're talking about, all NBA, JB, you know, one of his biggest things is injuries, health. He could have easily been an all-star last year if it wasn't for his health issues. The playoffs, we focus on the negatives, obviously, right? His handles were atrocious.
Yes.
It was at a point comical at how easy it was to get the ball from JB. The thing is, I remember, Mike, you would always ask this too while we're watching. It's like, was it always this bad? Was it always this? Like, you watch, it's like, is it? And I think he just does too much sometimes in the moment. Because he's not a bad ball handler, but he does a little too much. And, you know, it caused a lot of turnovers. JB is the reason why the Celtics made it to the final. He's a big reason why the Celtics made it to the final. And he's a big reason why the Celtics were only two games away of winning the whole thing. He's the only one who showed up in the finals when you really think of it. And obviously, we know how great Tatum is and the talent he is. JB's right there. I think he does make an All-NBA team. I think he makes probably a third All-NBA. But he's super talented. He's someone who works so hard in his game. You think about JB and how, when he came into this league, he couldn't shoot. He couldn't shoot. He was uber athletic, but he didn't have any. He didn't have no bag in him. Now he has a bag. And, you know, when you looked at JB, you always thought to yourself, there's very rare players who do this. Jimmy Butler got himself like that. A player who was just athletic, could play defense, and then Jimmy Butler changed his game, worked hard, and became that player. Kawhi Leonard, very similar, came into the league. Defensive only, didn't really have a great offensive game. Now you look at Kawhi Leonard, he reminds you of Kobe the way he plays. And you just hoped as a Celtics fan, JB could take that route because there's very few that can do it. And he did. He's a ride. He's an automatic bucket. You know you're getting 20 plus a game when JB's on the floor. So now can he just take the next step as being a better ball handler, being a better playmaker, limiting the turnovers. That's big on JB. Even the preseason, you still see it. He turns the ball over a little bit way too much. But if he can clean that up, the sky's the limit for JB, man, and it's going to be really scary.
Yeah, you pretty much said everything, Marv, that I was thinking that I wanted to say. I definitely want to add this for sure because it's the question there. Jaylen Brown, All-NBA. Sam asked the same similar question. Can Jaylen Brown be top 10 player in the league? We always talk about these young Celtics players getting into their prime. You know, they're getting a year older. They're going to get better. And I don't want to make this a Tatum versus Brown thing. That's one thing I never want to do, and I'm trying to stay away from that as much as possible. But I wouldn't be shocked if Jaylen Brown's the guy on the team this year.
What do you mean, the guy?
The guy, the go-to scorer. The go-to, like, I know for a fact we've all seen over the last 2-3 years, no matter what Jaylen Brown does, at the end of the day, especially in close game situations, the ball always finds a way to just be in Tatum's hand and Tatum's hand only. And I know there's been numerous games where I've watched with you, I've watched with my dad, I've watched with my brother, I've watched with different people. And we've seen situations, Jaylen Brown is chilling in the corner. Jaylen Brown has no impact on the final play, final possessions. Not to say that it never happens, but there's a lot of time you're like, oh, okay, like, you know, there's no problem going to Jaylen Brown in this situation. There's times where Jaylen Brown has had solid games and they still find a way to get the ball in Tatum's hand at the end of games. I think this upcoming season, that comes to an end. Because I don't see why there can't be a situation where the Celtics, the coaching staff, Mazzulla, can get creative at the end of games. And maybe you go to Tatum, maybe you go to Brown, maybe you have them playing off each other, pick and roll, pick and pop. I don't know. I'm not the coach. I'm not on the coaching staff. But I think this season, they're going to find ways to get Jaylen Brown in more of those situations where the ball can be in his hand to close out games. And I say that to say overall, and I saw a comment, I think it came in from Jay, you know, JB's already looking like he's locked in, and it's only been preseason. First preseason game, he came out busting. Second game, he came out smacking again. And I think the third preseason game, they sat everybody else, but they kept him on the floor. Just, I guess he wanted to stay in rhythm, whatnot. Because maybe he know the deal and the coaching staff know the deal. This dude's going. And, you know, obviously maybe they say, we know we're going to get out of Tatum already. And if we're being quite honest, Tatum's preseason was kind of lackluster, if you asking me. Like, I don't, not to say, it's just preseason, you know. That's not, the games don't matter. Maybe he'll really tap in when the regular season starts. But Tatum's preseason wasn't that special. If we could get Jaylen Brown, what he was doing in limited minutes in preseason, to carry over into the season, the regular season, this team going to be really dangerous. Because I think most people already have Tatum. Tatum might be top 10 in the league to some people right now. Tatum's top 10 in the league to a lot of people right now. And that's great. If you can get top 10 Tatum next year, top 10 player in the league, Tatum, next season, this upcoming season, that's wonderful. If you get Jaylen Brown to make that leap of what we saw going through the playoffs, I know the handles and the turnovers are bad, but in terms of being a guy who was carrying the load for the team in the finals, guy who was killing preseason games, if you could get that Jaylen Brown that you saw the last couple of months of the season in the playoffs as well, in these preseason games, you say you have him, what, 16 right now?
Right.
Now you have him knocking on the doors top 10 as well, right, if you can get that Jaylen Brown. Now you're talking about two guys potentially top 10, on the verge of being top 10, carrying your team through this upcoming season. That is dangerous. And to go back to answer that question about Jaylen Brown, All-NBA, I definitely think it's there for him to grab. It's there for him to reach. You know, that's why we didn't even ask the question of Jaylen Brown, can he be an All-Star?
No.
Being an All-Star is, Jaylen Brown can get that. Like you said, last season, the only thing that stopped him from getting an All-Star is being healthy. You know, he missed too many games to really be in consideration and get the votes and all that goes into being selected for an All-Star. It's past that for Jaylen Brown. He needs to start knocking on the door of all NBA teams. And I think this year, as long as he's healthy, especially getting that even more experience coming off the finals and just the run that they had, Jaylen Brown's there. All NBA's there. And now you can possibly have Tatum and Brown knocking on the door of all NBA teams. 1, 2, 3, don't matter. this team led by these two guys who still now are getting into their prime. Yeah. Tatum is just about to turn 25 next year. Jaylen Brown would just turn 26, I believe. They now are slowly starting to scratch and get into their prime. Very dangerous. Very dangerous.
It's going to be scary. And especially, we spoke about JB, but with Tatum, yes, the finals was bad. Like, we could all agree that the finals wasn't what we would have wanted from Tatum. But that playoff run, Tatum locked into another level defensively.
Yes, he did.
It was Kawhi-like. What Tatum did defensively was Kawhi-like. And he's done something that either Kawhi and KD have not been able to figure out, is the playmaking. Kawhi, if there's one thing you can harp on Kawhi, is he's not really a great playmaker. He'll get you a bucket, but he can't get the team involved. KD, same thing. KD's tried, you know, he's a great team player, but he's not the great playmaker. Tatum, what he showed us in games, he could go get you 12 assists, get the team involved, and then later get his buckets. Like, Tatum locked into something really special in the second half of the year. And then what he showed in the playoffs defensively was real scary. Like, Tatum's a real scary player if he can really become consistent two-way with that. Ooh. Two-way? Like, we always thought JB was going to be that guy because he shows it. Tatum has the skills to be a really scary defensive player if he really wants to tap into that. So I think these two can be something crazy. Like, we used to salivate over Paul George and Kawhi Leonard being that wing duo. Tatum and Brown could be better. They could easily be better. They're very similar in skill set right now. There's no more young pup, and this is like they're all in the same levels. Like you said, they're all in their primes. It's going to be really interesting, interesting to see. And now with Brogdon and Smart and all of these guys, health. Rob Williams, man, that Rob Williams thing hurts a lot because when the Celtics were beating teams in February, March, Rob Williams was healthy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he was the MVP of the team, but he changes everything when he's not in the game. And when he came back hobbled, you could see that it was not the same anymore. It wasn't the same. So, you know, you can get these two to take another step by January, February, or get a healthy Rob Williams back. We'll see what this team could be. But yeah, the JB thing's gonna be something to really really look out for, to see where he can go. Cause if he is all NBA, essentially you're talking about the best 15 players in the league.
That's right.
So,
and I think Mazzulla, and again, it's only preseason and, you know, minutes are limited and players play or don't play, but I think from even looking at the preseason, Mazzulla's not afraid to let the team and let Jaylen Brown rock. Like, not saying that Ime had a problem doing that. I think Brad didn't want to really do that. Brad was trying to, Brad had to deal with the Kyries and Kembas and whatnot. But, you know, we couldn't really get time to see if Ime was going to be a guy to really let Tatum and Brown rock. I think, like I said, during these couple of preseason games.
What do you mean by let them rock?
Let there be times where Jaylen Brown, I go back to the conversation end of games, and again, it came up in the comments where it's Brown is just chilling in the corner and not really involved sometimes. I was hoping that they continue to get out of that. And obviously, if Ime was here, I would want to continue to see that development and see them get out of those type of situations. I'm hoping that Mazzulla is the type to let them rock when I say that, in terms of not letting Tatum and Brown at the end of the game should never really be sitting. I know there's sometimes games, if you got Tatum or Brown hitting for 40 points or 50, like, okay, everybody get the hell out the way. Yeah. But there should be a lot of times where most games, both of them are gonna probably go through the season averaging 20-something points a game. There should be a lot of times where they are both constantly involved, especially late in games, whatever the offense is. I don't care what kind of motion, what kind of pick and roll, what needs to be set, what plays needs to be called, but both of them should be moving and involved in the offense at all times, and no one should ever be relegated to the corner. Jaylen Brown or Tatum should never be relegated to a corner. I understand Brogdon or White or Smart, whoever, Grant Williams, but I don't want to see that anymore.
Yeah, it's all about ball movement, being able to cut and stuff. And, you know, obviously, with what you say with JB in the corner, it's not even during the last, like, the last final shots. It's like the fourth quarter. He relegates to a corner. And, yeah, that could be coaching, but that also falls in line with the player as well. I feel like JB, and it's been like that his whole career, he starts off hot. He starts off the first quarter pounding, he's on fire, and then he slows down. He slows down during the games. And then sometimes in the fourth quarter, he disappears. And you see him in the corners when things are going on. He just stands there. He just stays there. Yeah. And that's on him as well to start to be more active in late game situations.
Yeah, we got to continue to see him make that development, that improvement too, like you said, to get active and not say, hey, let me just be in the corner and hope that the ball comes in my hands or I can turn into a freaking catch and shoot guy. You know, get involved. Go up there and get yourself involved in a play and make something happen. That's another step that he has to take. Like you said, both of them can take steps, Tatum and Brown. You know, you want to see more consistent defensive play from Tatum, because if he taps into that, real dangerous, like you said. And Jaylen Brown, obviously the scoring going to be there, but secure the ball, work on your playmaking. You know, the future's bright. And I don't even want to get into contracts and situations, because that could dive into a whole different conversation. But, you know, if Brad is smart and, you know, these players like being here, Tatum and Brown should be locked up for a long period of time. And that's your future right there. You can have numerous possible finals runs with these guys, you know, leading your team. Obviously, you know, we've had this conversation many times. Are they the leaders that you want? The leadership. But all of that can also come from...
You had your leadership with Ime.
So all of that can come from who's around Tatum and Brown. Because obviously, are they either one of them vocal leaders? Absolutely not. They're both have shown to be, oh, let me go let my play do the talking for me. Let me let my play, you know, speak for me. And that's cool and all, but who's around them matters. Thankfully, right now, you still have Smart. Horford's somewhat of a lead. Kind of quiet, too, but Horford... the leadership has to come from around them. You know, they're going to be the ones obviously getting the buckets for you. But the leadership and talking to the team and getting the team riled up in a locker room on a bench, that has to come from who's around them. So, but it's still two strong pillars to have moving forward for years to come.
All right. As we get towards the end of the show, Mike Nice, let's transition into bold. Oh, yes. Who is the odd man out of the rotation? So who can be a player that, you know, who's been contributing onto this team that you can see just they just don't have it for?
I mean, I think obviously the easiest answer is Peyton Pritchard. He's going into, what, year three now, I believe?
Yep.
And it's been tough for him because his first year he was behind... What, Smart and Kemba?
Kemba.
Then last year, they give complete control to Smart, and then they had...
They brought in Derek White.
Derek White. They had Schroeder for a while. Yeah. So then you behind those guys, and now you're moving into year three. Derek White's still here. Smart's still here. Now you bring in Brogdon. So the thing with Pritchard is, at his position, there's just always been... The depth has been there. And I like Pritchard. I like the fact that he can shoot the hell out of the ball. He can stretch the floor. Obviously, you know, he's a smaller guy. So, you know, the situation, you can't really play him like Derek White, Smart, Brogdon, kind of can move between the one and the three.
Yep.
You can't do that with Pritchard, unfortunately. He has to play the one. Maybe he can play two because, you know, he provides that stretching of the floor. But... There's also the fact that there's a lot of depth there with White, Brogdon, and Smart. So he's going to be the odd man out. And it sucks because Does that mean he finds his way to just playing in the G League? Maybe that'd be best for him to continue to.
He's established now.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. He's established, but he's going to establish his ass on the bench, unfortunately, and never going to get up, which is unfortunate because there's too many players ahead of him. He can't really go down to the G League because he kind of too.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the summer.
If he didn't play in the summer league, he's not going to play in the G League. So he's going to be there. Now, the thing is, and I don't want to say this is a good thing because that's not what I want to be, but obviously with rest and potential little injuries, Smart might have to sit. Brogdon might have to sit. So he's going to find his way getting some minutes.
It's good insurance.
It's just not going to be as consistent as he probably would like. So he's definitely fully healthy. He the odd man out of the rotation.
And another player why he could be an odd man out that we haven't brought up today. I think it just slipped both our minds. Hauser.
Sam Hauser
could be a guy who gets those Gallinari minutes.
Yep.
The Celtics definitely going to throw him in the fire to start off the season just to see, you know, if the preseason was a real thing or not. If somehow it is and he makes consistent threes, what do you really need Pritchard for?
It's over, Pritchard. You got a taller Pritchard, pretty much.
You have a taller Pritchard who can stretch the floor. So that's another reason why Peyton Pritchard could be an odd man out. Hauser can get some minutes as well. But when it comes to odd man out the rotation, I'll switch it up a little bit with a bold, very bold prediction. I could see a starter going to the bench. And this could cause some headways. But I could see in a world going into the end of the year where Brogdon becomes the starter for this team and Marcus Smart goes to the bench.
Oh, yeah. Brogdon just might be the better fit because he's an actual point guard.
And the thing is, Smart is obviously, he has the respect of the team, and the team is going to give him the point guard duties. Marcus Smart, we talk about turnovers. Marcus Smart turns the ball over a lot. There could be a stretch in the season. This is all hypothetical. But what if the Celtics go on a three-game losing streak? During this three-game losing streak, Marcus Smart is just turning the ball over left and right. Who's not going to ask for a change? Let's try. When Brogdon's in the game, there's more stability. And you put Brogdon up there, and Marcus comes off from the bench. There's a world where that happens. And that's why I know it's not directly answering the question of who's the odd man out the rotation, because Smart's always going to get his minutes, and he's super valuable. This is the defensive player of the year. But there's a world where Brogdon can take that starting position.
And hopefully this lights a fire under Smart, in all honesty, because, you know, last year, did you really have to worry about someone coming and taking a position who to overtake you? Pritchard? Like, Smart didn't have to worry about that last year. As soon as the rumblings and the trade happened with Brogdon, the media talk was, oh, Smart. Is Smart going to the bench? Oh, are they going to maybe look to trade Smart? As soon as that happened. So maybe that fire is kind of lit under Smart, knowing that, okay, if I'm not playing to the best of my ability at this point guard position, this guy Brogdon, a veteran in this league, a guy who knows how to facilitate, knows how to score, shoots better percentages, can easily come and take my minutes away from me. You know, I think at the end of the day, Celtics fans, we love Smart. It's his good, his bad, his ugly. Yeah. We love Smart.
Live and die by Smart.
But at the same time, if you got a player who could come in at your position and add more to the game and help this team even better, set Tatum and Brown up with better assists, like, you're right. It's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility that Brogdon can step up and be that starting point guard for the Celtics. So Smart just needs to stay on his P's and Q's and try to stay on top of his game and hopefully, in his case, you know, that never comes into question.
Sam brings up, you know, if Smart goes to the bench, he's never getting up again. He going John Wall, y'all. Listen, if Smart does go to the bench, he's going to be pissed. It won't be a pretty conversation in the back. He will not be happy about that at all. You know, he worked his way up and worked hard to become a starter in this league and to be a point guard. And I didn't think he was bad.
He'll never go back to the bench. It's either he's going to be the starting point guard, or they're going to bring Brogdon in to start, move Smart to the two, Tatum Brown to the three, Tatum to the four.
That's possible as well.
So,
seeing how the depth works.
Yeah, but.
So, to end this off, Mike Nice, What is your season prediction of this team, standing wise? How does the Celtics team look?
The Celtics will be back in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think I have them as an automatic lock to make it back there.
Wow.
Obviously, coaching is going to play a big part, but I want to believe the identity, and I think Horford kind of alluded to this in a recent interview, like they feel like coming off of last season, how things went second half of the season through the playoffs, they kind of feel like they're jumping right back into what brought them success. And I think we all said if they could come out, Tatum, all these guys come out playing like this going into next season, you got Tatum probably in the MVP conversation. I remember we had that conversation as well. Tatum could be a possible MVP candidate. Like, the team could be locked in. And if they can stay like that all season long, there's no reason why they can't be right back in the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, you got to deal with Milwaukee. We'll see how the Heat come together.
I like Philly, man.
Philly, like now they Philly. Have a full year of Embiid and James really Harden. Like that could be team. Dangerous. So the competition is going to be there. You know, one thing, I remember you saying this to me the other day. It's the first time in a long time to start the year, everybody's healthy. Everybody has a fully healthy team for the most part. You know, speaking in the West, you got Wall back. You got Kawhi Leonard back here in the East. Middleton's back with Milwaukee. You know, obviously I don't expect much from the Wizards, but Bradley Beal's healthy.
Yeah, he's going to be playing. All the top names in the league are healthy.
So, yeah, it's not going to be easy for the Celtics. Obviously, health is key, but if they're completely healthy and continue to roll off the identity that has been established for them and their star players take that leap, Jaylen Brown and Tatum that we just talking about, possibly all NBA, Eastern Conference Finals should be a lock for this Boston Celtics team this upcoming season.
I co-sign it, but it's going to be tough. And like we're already planning to do, you know, a behind-the-scenes additional episode of just talking NBA as a whole because, you know, we're a fan of the sport. But it's the East is the best it's ever been that I can remember. I don't ever remember the East being this good. Like Sam was on his pregame show or talking to us early, and he was saying how he really likes Cleveland as his dark horse team. Cleveland's a good team. I see them being in the play-in. That's not to say that Cleveland's not going to be nice, but I see them as a play-in team in the seventh seed. This, like the LeBron James teams that went to the finals with Cavs, they be a fifth, sixth seed in this era right now. The East is the best as ever. I can't remember when the East was this good. I really can't. Just look at all the talent. Milwaukee, Celtics, Philly, Cleveland, Atlanta. They got Brooklyn. DeJounte. Brooklyn can win 60 games or they can win 32 games. We really have no idea. Like the East is real scary this year. So I'm excited to see how that goes. Celtics, I'm going to co-sign with you. Eastern Conference Finals. Any last words, man, before this season starts up next week?
I'm excited. Again, I think I can speak for both of us. Just want to see the team stay healthy. You want to see the team stay healthy? I want to see everybody stay healthy, not just Celtics. I want to see everybody stay as healthy as possible, hopefully. I really want to see Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as all-star starters. Whether it be on the same team, whether it be opposite team, I don't care. I want them to be all-star starters. I definitely want all NBA.
If they're going to both be all-star starters, they got to be like the number one seed.
They got to be all-star starters. If you get Tatum and Brown as all-star starters, that's a good good sign of how your team is performing. Yep. So, can't wait. Get started, like we said, next Tuesday. I believe it's October 18th is when the season gets started against the Philadelphia 76ers. The 2022-2023 NBA season is upon us. And, you know, we can't wait to see what the Celtics do.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the squad. Shout out to Warm Studios. Shout out to the Double M family. Tex, Sam, Kiki. Yo, this is Double M Live. Episode 114.
Wow.
Golly. Yo, like we always say, we're to the moon. We out.